Welcome to the NLS Podcast. This week is a little complicated. A lot of ideas. A lot of stuff you got to hold together in your head. Some of the stuff in the beginning is going to trigger you. Stay tuned for the end because I have like solutions to the problems. I should have cut it together better, but that wasn't really an option because some of the clips I had music set to them, which meant I couldn't really, you know, recut that stuff as well as I would have liked to. It's a little bit loud. This week and last week, I used clips from The Ranting Monkey, which is a channel on YouTube, and I really like that channel, so check it out. Check out The Ranting Monkey. And then this week, there's clips from three episodes of Harmontown. So go check out Dan Harmon on Harmontown. He just came clean. These are my confessions about sexual misconduct or abusing his power. Seems like a good dude. Well, it seems kind of autistic, I don't know, but fuck it. He's cool. He says some dope shit. And lately he's been having on political people that are like middle of the road political, like fucking Dave Smith type, Doug Stanhope type, like liberal but more common sense liberal people. And I really enjoyed it. So I cut together some of my favorite clips. It goes together with what I was talking about tonight. Some shit I meant to get off. I talk about Eminem, and I meant to say that's the kind of solution you only come up with when your wokeness has been co-opted to be part of their strategy. Would have been a hotline, didn't get it off. There's a couple of those. I meant to say we got to call Kaepernick. Turns out he had some good ideas. You can just put that together in your head, figure out where that was supposed to be in the middle of my set. But so the strength of tonight's set, the ideas you have to have in mind, because I'm curating dope ideas on the internet and hoping that you kind of put it together the way I put it together. So Huey P. Newton would say, there is no good and there is no bad. What's good is what's good to the dominant will to power, and what's bad is what's bad to the dominant will to power. But there are things that are good to the dominant will to power that are bad to the general public. And we call those things injustice. And the way you correct them, it's not by busting people, it's you negate the necessity of their existence. You find a way to meet the needs of the people that negates the necessity of exploitation or of people getting screwed. And that happens all the time. Like, you know, AOL was sending out discs and we thought the world was going to be destroyed, and fossil fuels and pollution and all that crap. And then everything became digital. They negated the necessity of sending out all these discs, of all the DVDs, of all the video games. Now it's not a problem, because it's all going digital. So there are some solutions presented in this that negate the necessity of some of the forces of evil that face us in the world today. And the big topic is just racism. Like, it's never bad to call out racism. But at some point, like, it got co-opted into sport, and then it's like anything enlightening in its inception eventually becomes restrictive in nature, and all the isms are approaching restrictive in nature. I'm getting, like, way too complicated. You guys are just going to have to listen to this stuff. Put it together for yourself. But moderation. Moderation is important. It gives credibility. It lends authenticity to the changes you're trying to make. Not everything is racism. Sometimes it's just people dealing with people. Some people are assholes. Not everybody's a delicious angel. So check out these audio clips, and then we got a little bit of stand-up material, and then we got some more audio clips, and hopefully you guys enjoy this stuff. Alright, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you, good night. I forgot to mention, hopefully some of these instrumentals come to you by way of my man, Dev the Dude. It's a cat I work with that makes dope instrumentals. And I was like, hey man, can I use those in my podcast? I'll promote you. He was like, for sure. So Dev the Dude, he's super dope. Contact information will be listed in the episode description. So go check out Dev the Dude. He's the chef. All right, y'all. Peace. I hate
y'all slap a hoe.
You know it's not podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the Caldivian, you cock-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
The opposition in this year has already imported into this campaign a very interesting thing because it's foreign. They have imported the propaganda technique invented by the dictators abroad. Remember, a number of years ago, there was a book, Mein Kampf, written by Hitler himself. The technique was all set out in Hitler's book, and it was copied by the aggressors of Italy and Japan. According to that technique, you should never use a small falsehood, always a big one, for its very fantastic nature would make it more credible. If only you keep repeating it over and over and over again.
Okay, this is projected sales, and we can get that up at about 20%, and this is how we're going to do it.
Race is real, race matters, and race is the foundation of identity.
Well, the government of Palm Springs, California, out in the desert, is plotting a war on racist trees.
We live in a world where every spring, Google and Facebook and Apple release these diversity numbers, and they'll be like, it's amazing, guys, we hired less white men this year. We think that it's inherently wonderful for white people to have less power.
So it's clear that people pushing racial injustice that they believed happened in the Zimmerman trial, they don't really want to talk about complicated racial problems in general. What the grievance industry does want is to divide the country along racial lines, because that's good for business.
People like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton do not deserve to be called civil rights leaders. They are not. They are hustlers and pimps who make a living off inflaming racial tensions.
Talking Points believes the day of the race hustlers is coming to an end. This we and them business gets the country nowhere.
He went to FoxNews.com and saw the story where race did suddenly come to the forefront.
The reason Trayvon Martin died was because he looked a certain way. But he was wearing a hoodie and he looked a certain way. And that way is how gangsters look.
You dress like a thug, people are going to treat you like a thug. That's true. I stand by that.
Well, say you're a cocaine dealer and you kind of look like one a little bit.
You are not a victim. You need to stand up and take responsibility.
I want you to do a little research for me. I think it's a fact that proportionally, young black men commit far more crimes than any other group in this country. And I think that that's what is driving all of this fear on both sides.
Well, as coverage of the new Black Panther case ticks up in the wake of the DOJ whistleblower coming forward, so too do the accusations of racism. Some accuse those who are shedding light on this story of inflaming racial tensions. Members of the new Black Panther Party were caught on videotape. Those new Black Panthers, the new Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, new Black Panther, those new Black Panthers, members of the new Black Panther Party, may have reached all the way to the White House.
But there was a different attitude in America after World War II, because we had won a hellacious war. White America was kind of unified. That unification made it easier for society to function.
And by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white. Jesus was a white man too. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change.
Actually, I think that's the official slogan of oppression. Oppression. Just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change.
You'll have a lot of fun on a weekend, trust me. Or on a Thursday, so please come back. Especially if your standards are so low that you're having fun tonight. You guys having fun tonight? We want you to come back, for sure. All right, Brad Stubeck said he didn't do drugs. Our next comedian is very funny, and he does do drugs. Give it up for Ian Ellis!
Yeah!
The rumors are true. I'm a new dad.
Clap it up for them. It means I can't do drugs as often as I would like. Which would be all of the time. Because of DCFS and child endangerment. A bunch of other fuck shit made up by liberals. We both like juice boxes. Let me smoke that weed. You won't stop crying. Let me smoke that weed. I am allowed to smoke when I go out to do comedy, which would be tonight. Uh-huh. I got here and I didn't waste any time. Allegedly. And then Tom pulled up next to me, so I waved at him. Hey, guy! I did that because I'm friendly. You probably heard that rumor about me. He's a friendly, nurturing human being. Pleasant and nice to be around. Definitely doesn't scowl when he's happy. I came inside, and Tom was like, Ian, you're the only person I know whose car smells like weed on the outside. And the windows rolled up, it was raining. You know Neverville has drug dogs. I got a headline out. Can't go to jail, I have a kid. Speaking of cars, right now we have cars that drive automatically. Great, that's the future. And as soon as we have enough of them, it'll be illegal to drive. Which is going to fuck up the drug game. You got any idea how much weed is going to cost when you got to rely on the Amish to deliver that shit? It's going to cost 2 bitcoins for an eighth of weed. You can't tell me these cars aren't going to be snitches. Get in there with a joint and it drops you off at the police? What the fuck? Trying to go to my boy's house. Future's fucked up and so is the present. Fuck? When is it gonna get better? Right now, one of our problems is racism. And the problem is, like, pointing out racism is great, but the media has turned it into entertainment. It's America's favorite TV show. Got him! Black dude was shot. Was the cop white? Got him! We got racism. I thought that shit was systemic. I know it was one guy in Texas. Shit, that was easy to get over. What we need right now is some honesty. Like, one of the honest facts is, did you know more white people get shot by police than black people? I heard that, and I was like, police brutality is out of control! Is Tom Brady taking a knee yet? Where's John Elway? He needs to ride in on a Bronco. Not the one OJ had. Like an actual white Bronco. Then that horse needs to take a knee. Raise white awareness. Savage police. Eminem said the solution is we need more black cops. Statistically, if you're black, you're 5 times more likely to get shot by a black guy. So Eminem's solution is genocide. percent of white people are killed by white people. 90% of black people are killed by black people. So the safest place to be is Koreatown. They ain't doing shit. It's a rule of propaganda. You have to accuse people of the shit that you're guilty of. Hitler said that shit. That's why Tucker Carlson keeps saying, we gotta quit racial baiting. Also, are trees racist? I was like, blood on the leaves? Does that mean M. Night Shyamalan was right? That's the most fucked up thing I've heard since a burning bush was homophobic. Who knew the most progressive thing you could do was be on the side of global warming? Fuck you for not being smart enough to get that. Man on this. Congress is shut down. I sling chicken for a living. I pay my bills. That chicken doesn't show up. You think I get to call off of work? Fuck snow. I gotta stack cups. I mean, Congress needs to be there washing windows and wiping counters. If you can lean, you can clean. Get back to work.
Yes.
Right, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Yeah.
One more time for Ian Ellis. He's a good set.
For me, this is a much bigger social issue. I'm recognizing a pattern of the narrowing of the imagery, the narrowing of tolerance in America.
Now, there's an old and somewhat lugubrious adage which says, "Never speak of a rope in the house of a man who's been hanged." Well, let's take some simple illustrations that come to mind.
Welcome back to the Alt-Right Conference, where I'm going to have a chat with Richard Spencer, the man who actually coined the phrase alt-right, and who openly advocates for a 50-year ban on non-European immigrants, and also the man who said that the New England Patriots Super Bowl win was a victory for the white race. Do you think the guy who scored the winning touchdown feels that way?
He's black.
Harry, black girls are 6 times more likely to be suspended than white girls in schools in the United States. Why do you think that is?
Just like, a black is more likely to be arrested. They're not behaving.
The fact is, men and women are different. We are more interested in power. We're more interested in exploration and domination. Women are more suited to, like, maintaining the household.
You hear that, ladies? The alt-right wants you in the kitchen.
Black people are committing the majority of these crimes in the inner city of the neighborhoods, all right? Now,
so black
when an
people
officer
are just
is pulling
criminal?
Over, it is a black neighborhood, high crime neighborhood. What, are they going to go around looking for white guys? Who commits most of the crimes here in New York City?
The question...
All right, thank you very much. Where is the crime?
No, listen, I'm not saying whether it affects African Americans or not.
Hispanic neighborhoods.
How do you sit on national TV and just say that black people are prone to criminality? I wouldn't be able to respond to that, okay?
Well, they are. The black community, all right, is where there's most of the crime. Let's say in New York City.
Be careful, Harry. That is not true.
Los Angeles.
Be careful. Black
aren't
inherently...
It is very true. Minorities commit the majority of crimes in New York City.
But you think black people are prone to criminality?
The statistics the statistics bear that out, and you do not want to face that.
That's because that's where the police go.
Black people are not inherently more criminal.
That
racial
is
profiling is alive and well.
This is a race card that's being played all over again.
There's no indication this is racial at all.
There is no indication that race is involved at all.
This whole racial profiling is something that somebody made up.
How could you say that?
According to you, the series of killings that have happened systematically year after year, just by chance, they all happen to be black.
I don't know about these cases you're talking about.
Where do you want me to start?
There's considerable bodies of data that show that black people are more likely to get pulled over. There are many studies from the ACLU study in New Jersey in the 90s and 2000s to this one that all show the same thing.
ACLU, we really can't trust them.
No, but you can trust the social scientists that they depended on, and you can look at the numbers and bear it out. It's not like...
There is a Stanford study that shows this. You look at the
Stanford
data, you'll see that you're not true.
Stanford, that's somebody we can believe. I'm not going to go with a Stanford study on a bunch of liberals sitting around.
Why use data and evidence when we know what they're good?
You can't just throw statistics out there. The Justice Department just threw statistics out there.
They did a heavy duty investigation.
Well, I don't think that was a heavy duty investigation. They went out and they spoke to people in the community. Listen, I don't have statistics in front of me.
But you
right
need
now,
them
Mark.
To make claims about what black and white people are doing.
Buckle up, Dorothy. You're about to learn who's killing who in America and if there are any racial or sexual biases there. Now, it's got to be said, this is just a straight up look at the numbers. Beyond some obvious logistical issues, I'm not going to touch on why these numbers are the way they are. Nonetheless, it's still really quite interesting when you get into it. So firstly, let's look at the overall total numbers. If all things were equal, then the average black person should have the same murder rate as the average white person. So you would expect white people to commit about 70% of the murders in America, African Americans about 15%, and 15% for others. Whilst in reality, white folks commit about 48% of the murders in America, while African Americans commit murder at almost 3 times the rate of their white counterparts. and other is actually remarkably underrepresented. They should commit about 15% of the murders, but only commit about 5%. So let's see, if white people were equal opportunity murderers, their murder victims would reflect the racial profile of America. That is, they would be 70% white, 15% African American, and 15% other. Whereas what's actually found is the victims of white murderers, 90% of them are white, meaning that white people actually have a preference for killing each other, and they do that at the exclusion of minorities. So you would expect about 15% of the murder victims to be African Americans, whereas in reality, it's only about 7%. And the murder rate for other should be about 15%, whereas in reality, it was only about 2%. So interestingly, white people have a significant preference for killing white people for one reason or another. We'll come back to that. Now, the same thing is also true for black people, but on a whole different level. Now, there is a certain logistical element to this, and trust me, as someone who's driven across America coast to coast several times over a couple of decades, America is still a pretty racially inhomogeneous country. So if there's a murder in, say, Rapid City, it's going to be a white guy because there are no other races to kill there. Whereas if a murder happens in certain areas of Detroit, then it's going to be a black guy because there are no other races to kill. So this is probably a significant factor of what you're looking at here, and it's just very hard to deconvolute people's racial preferences for murder from the inhomogeneities of the population of America. But ignoring the obvious racial inhomogeneities of America for a second, African Americans, if all things were equal, should end up murdering about 15% black people, where in reality it's actually 80%. And they should kill about 70% white people, whereas it's only about 16%. And other gets off almost scot-free. They should be about 15%, but only make up about 2% of the murders. Now, yeah, you do have to be a little careful with simple interpretations of data like this. Nonetheless, if you combine the murder rate for the African Americans, it's about 5 times that of their white counterparts, along with the fact that there is a 5-fold preference for African Americans to kill African Americans. And from that, it would appear clear, if your primary concern is that Black Lives Matter, that should be your area of focus. So in simple macroscopic numbers, if you randomly take a white murderer, there is a 90% chance that he killed a white guy. Whereas if you have a black murderer, there is about an 80% chance that he killed a black guy, even though black people only make up about 15% of the population. Nonetheless, if it's simply the lives you want to protect, this should be your priority. In that African Americans, in sheer numbers, kill about 10 times as many African Americans as white people. The stats of sex and murder are also really quite interesting, principally because unlike with a race, there is no significant gender separation across America. So let's do it by race first. So if a murderer showed no sexual preference, then about 50% of their murder victims should be male and 50% female. Well, for white folks, they actually show a preference for killing men, with about 63% of their victims being male and about 37% being female. With African Americans, however, they actually show an even greater preference for killing men, with 77% of their victims being male and about 23% being female. Although, as with before, it should be stressed that African Americans are about 5 times as likely to be a murderer as a white guy. Now, where it gets really interesting is where you take race out of the picture altogether and just look at the murder rates by gender. So, for instance, if men were equal opportunity murderers, then 50% of their victims would be male and 50% female. But what we find is fascinating. Men actually have a preference for killing men at about 70% for men and 30% for women. But this is the really interesting bit. For women, it's almost exactly the same. They've got just a slightly higher preference for killing men, with about 74% of the murder victims of women being men and 26% being female. That being said, the sheer number of male murderers to female murderers is about 10 to 1. The practical upshot of which is that male-on-male murder runs at about 3,500 per year, while female-on-female murders run at about 150. So that's just a factual breakdown of the murder statistics in America, which I hope you found interesting and informative.
Don't normalize.
I'm not normalizing
you
at all.
You black people are always normalizing.
Well, that's one of the things. It's like, yeah, if you're black, you've been on the shift for like 4 years. We've been inundated with lynchings and shootings and hanging. And for a second, you really had to be like, good God, if I walk outside of my house, I'm going to get murdered. The truth of the matter is they're hyping you, man. They're trying to make you feel like there are more police shootings than ever. They're trying to make you feel like there's all this other shit going down, and it's there's not. And here's the thing that I want to say about these marches, because you asked, what did the Women's March do? And I think that these shows of force, whenever we show up in large numbers, it lets people know next time there'll be more of us, and there'll be more of us, and there'll be more of us. And we also get to look at each other and say, I'm with you, I got your back, I'm with you. So it works.
All right.
But when those marches wind up in the places where people are disenfranchised, then I'll know that we're not playing around. Like when you do a women's march that actually winds up going to the women's center in downtown LA and maybe helping out those bodies, those thousands of people show up week after week to keep those infrastructure up, then I'll be like, okay, we are doing some shit. We're in trouble and we're reacting.
Interesting.
In a positive way. When they take the march all the way to Compton, instead of stopping it in the richest part of the city, which is downtown LA, when they march all the way to Compton and they spend money in those stores, they look around and they clean up those buildings, they pick up some trash.
We're only strong when we come together, right? We're only strong when we come together, collective power. Like, any of us individually can't do shit. That's like the net neutrality thing, right? And I also disagree. I don't think we can do just like boycotts or like economically based. We need to look at how power is leveraged and how we coming together. I think the Women's March is really good because it allowed a bunch of people to come together and go, hey, you want to fight for this? I want to fight for this. Let's like get to know each other and figure this out. So the next time there's a mass movement, there are demands that we all agree on together.
But they didn't raise no money, did they? See, here's the thing. Had they raised some money that day for like any female charity, I might be super impressed.
But like money's one thing.
I'm impressed by us all showing up, but I'm getting real tired of us trying to buy our way out of the shit by sending somebody to a broken ass Congress or to a broken political system. Well, we know goddamn well that if we had spent $5 on the motherfucker next to us, we wouldn't be in this situation. That is, at the end of the day, the thing that you can do. You can get as mad as you want to about court systems and Congress and the political sphere and the president and the fact that third-party voters did this and the Republicans did that. Or you can actually reach down, make sure the motherfucker who's right in front of you is eating. Had we done that in the first place, we wouldn't be victims. But now they're trying to scare us. Every week they come out with, I'm moving this to Jerusalem, I'm doing this shit. They ain't doing half the shit they telling us they gonna do, and they got us scared. You don't scare me by telling me you about to pull the cord on my motherfucking internet. You scare me when you're at my front door. Can we, instead of maybe going to them, take ourselves away from the internet? Can we maybe tell these motherfuckers what we expect it to be? So they give us shit like hybrid cars, like solar panels. Can we teach industry how to listen to us when we say we don't want to throttle? Why are we even using our government to talk to these motherfuckers when, quite honestly, as a consumer, can't we just tell them we don't want that shit?
We all expect like this thing to be like some movie where people are turned into something, but it's like the first thing that happens is your connections to each other are amputated. And
for survival.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be a conspiracy on the part of any bad guys. It's just like, this is what's happening to us. It's like necrotizing. Like, we're going numb, we're going cold, and we're like, so, and that gives way for me. Like,
wasn't representation getting a lot better, and then just something happened, and it kind of just got set back 20 years? Like, what happened?
I don't know.
Is what happened. We had Wall Street crashes. People were pitted against one another that had never been pitted against one another before.
Right.
So, at one point in America, you did have people started to equalize and sort of make money regardless of who you were. Everybody was on the up. And then we broke some deals that we had, which were we weren't going to lay off the people in the middle of the country. We weren't going to do that to the manufacturing base. We were going to help those people learn computers. We were going to help those people learn automation. We weren't going to break unions, and we weren't going to take your house from you. We broke those three deals, which made
the average American suddenly be very poor, and then they were ripe for the picking.
We started a war on the poor in the 80s. We decided to do that. We decided to deregulate. Right. We decided to economically. It starts with economic policy, tax breaks. You know, in order to do this, we're going to need to have the government not do as much. Okay, well, let's just have a war on the poor. Well, there's a lot more of them than there are of us. Are there? Right. When you divide them up by every little tiny itty bitty thing that you can divide them by? Yeah, I don't know.
Also, it's an ongoing war. So what we're paying attention to right now is the viciousness that is coming in. But we're not really paying attention to how many years we have successfully held them back. So if you're looking at it from, I have to always remind myself from a civil rights perspective, we did a great job after the 70s, and we were able to hold these very evil forces back through the 70s, through the 80s, and then it got dicey in the 90s, and now we're not all the way back, but we have lost a battleground.
We had racism as a thing that we had figured out to be, you should be ashamed of. That actually took a lot of doing.
That population suddenly gets money. They've been monetized since World War II. They're able to spend. We realize as a country that we can actually make money off of these people, so that being racist becomes inefficient. And then that also coincides with women also becoming wealthier. So what they do at the top is they sort of go, look, I don't have to just underpay you. I could underpay your wife too. And they begin to split us, and neither one of us are doing better.
And what, do you guys got kids? Whoa, what'd you do that for?
Exactly.
Why are you going to make another American for, you fucking gross people?
Right.
Like, oh, what do you mean? Where are you going? You going to get an abortion? Whoa, I never said you could do that.
They criminalize being a woman, which is the same tactic that they used with Mexicans and Asians and blacks.
Criminalizing a woman is a great way to criminalize being poor.
Right.
If you criminalize the woman in every family, the poor families are going to crumble before the families that can get a nanny.
Right.
Everything I know about politics, about socialism, about, the thing that radicalized me was going and meeting people, hearing people that work for teachers' unions, hearing, you know, some, like, intellectuals that are, like, you know, work as professors or whatever, just rank-and-file union folks and nurses and this and that, and talking to all these people and watching the action and participating in an action. That's what teaches me. And to me specifically, I think that we as socialists, we as leftists, need to remove ourselves from the world of academia, because I think that was purposefully done. That was sort of a move like, oh, let's get them all in their little bubbles, their little coastal bubbles, where they just sit and they wear glasses and they look like their bones are going to break if they wear a sweater and they fucking talk and talk and talk, and they just want to jerk off over which dead Russian dude, like, they liked the most.
Right.
And
Playing philosophical chess on a daytime talk
it's
show.
Sports. It's the same fucking thing. It's who's your team, who's this, and a lot of politics, not just like leftist politics, a lot of like national politics is just sports as well. The difference between selfishness, selflessness, and self-interest. These are three different things. Selfishness is, hey, I got all this money, I don't want it to go to anybody, no taxes, whatever, and you know, pure greed, right? Conversely, it's, I broke my leg, I need Medicare for all because my leg is broken,
right?
Selflessness is, I'm a perfectly healthy person, I don't need anything, I'll never be sick because
I'm in
shape.
Take my bone marrow, I've got extra marrow.
Right, and you're doing this for somebody else and not for you at all.
Right.
But selfless or self-interest
is, I like this already.
Self-interest is, how can I help everybody else out while also helping myself out? Because we're all in this together. But when you think about it, Los Angeles has something like $8 billion in 700 bank accounts, all at Wells Fargo, at that one bank. And that $8 billion is everything from your electric bill payments to your taxes to fees to 401k plans for city clerks. When that money is in Wells Fargo then, through loans and dividends and investments and whatnot, they spread that money to Philip Morris.
Right.
They spread that money to weapons companies. And so
Keystone Pipeline.
Exactly. Yes. That's
right. What's
one
the
of the
phrase for this again? I saw Sarah Silverman talk about it.
Divestment. And so a lot of people, Sarah Silverman being one of them, and myself included, have divested our personal money from big Wall Street banks and put them into credit unions. But now what we're asking is for cities, for municipalities, because you and me, and we do like this, it's a drop in the bucket, but $8 billion that is not going to get invested in horrible fossil fuels or private prisons is a big chunk of change.
One of the things it talked about is there is this huge change where the bankers who were de facto funding everything on the government's behalf, because banks have stand to gain from being in the business of government, they're like, yeah, let's go along, we'll give you the loan, you can make this building, we'll make City Hall, we're working together as a team. They went from that to saying, wait a second, we have all the money, fuck you guys, do everything we say, because we're a private corporation that now holds the purse strings for the government. And when that fundamental power shift changed, kind of everything got ruined and fucked. So it sounds like this is kind of a reversal. It's defanging the power that finance has, or private finance has, over the government, which shouldn't be in the business of private finance. It should be in the business of aiding people.
Right, exactly. And so these, you know, when your electric bill is sitting at Wells Fargo, Wells Fargo's making, you know, if you pay your electric bill with a credit card, Wells Fargo gets a fee. And that's just coming right off the top from the city money.
Not going to the government.
It doesn't go to the government. It doesn't go to make your roads better or your schools better. It goes into some fucking cokehead's pocket, you know? And so what we want is to create a municipal bank where then all of this money is housed in an institution that's central motive isn't profit. Its central motive is, hey, we are, this is city public money. It's your money. It's my money. It's all of our money. It should stay in Los Angeles. And beyond that, we should open it up so that people historically that have had a hard time getting loans can get loans. We can use this money, like, you know, if it's run well, which banks happen to be run well when it comes to collecting a profit at the end of the year, instead of that profit going to bankers, that profit can go into housing or schools and the like. The Bob of Hate is wrong. It's wrong-headed. It's bad. 20% I'll give. 20% of Trump voters, irreparable racists, horrible people. But I really truly believe that 80% of Trump voters have a kid that's addicted to opiates or lost their house or lost their job. And like you said, they kept fucking working hard and nothing happened. And so they wanted to make a change. They just wanted to give a big fuck you to the system that ruined their lives. And the Democrats seeing this, and this is why I don't think you can work within the Democratic Party, because ultimately they're beholden to their donors. But they see this, and who do they trot out to fight this? The avatar of the status quo. And you see it happen over and over and over again. And the only time that it works is if you have literally the most charismatic man who's ever been, like, nominated for president to sell that bill of goods to people.
Like there is constant infrastructural pressure necessary to maintain a division between a black person and a white person in America.
Right, and
you have to wake up every morning and make sure those two people know that they're black and white.
And they do. And the powers that be do that. And, you know, it starts, you know, you go back to Howard Zinn, who is somebody I have read a lot and really like define my worldview. He talks about how after one of the first big slave rebellions, where white slaves and black slaves teamed up, the powers that were like, oh, fuck, if all of the poor people team up, we're fucked. So they created the middle class. They were like, okay, white slaves in the New World, when you guys got 20 years, and then you'll get a house, and you'll get a car, and you'll get, you know, not a car, but a horse, which was, they called them cars back then. but you'll get a house and a horse and fucking, you know, 40 acres and a mule. What that does is that makes it so that, and you're right, it is this intense artificial pressure, but it is very specific, and it is there purposefully. And it's to keep the people that are two rungs from the bottom of the ladder kicking down.
Yep.
Just constantly kicking down. And if we all realize that we're all being fucked and don't try to buy into the artificial fucking separation of who we are and allow each other to make mistakes and whatnot, that's how the labor movement got us a weekend. So what I've done personally that's really helped me is you have to recognize that national media focuses on national storylines that you can't affect. You can't change this huge thing. So what I've done is I've stopped watching cable news. Cable news, inherently, it's only there to scare you and make you buy, you know, fucking Centrum Silver or whatever.
And to delegitimize fringe voices in favor of corporate status quo.
Absolutely.
But we could shift over to local. These things all have local...
Yes, roots, and it all starts at the local level. So if there is a DSA chapter or PSL, which is the Party for Socialism and Liberation, there are progressive groups. If you don't have like a socialist, like find the most leftmost people in your community.
You could follow.
That's what socialism's all fucking about. It's enough of us working a little bit so that the rest of us don't have to work super fucking hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that fundamentally is the way that we need to look at the world. So we have a big tent where it's called a big tent organization where if no matter what your level of involvement is, no matter what your politics are, if you want to help locally on issues that I guarantee you agree with, everything from like, hey, maybe we shouldn't put spikes under overpasses so homeless people can't live in under our precious overpasses, Mitch O'Farrell, city council person of Los Angeles, you'll find that, and then beyond that, you'll be able to find, like, we're not an amorphous blob. We have our housing and homelessness committee, which is focused on doing things like Street Watch, which cops go and illegally fuck up homeless encampments. People that have a job and a computer and a phone and are right there ready to get a fucking apartment, they'll go in and bust all their shit and break all their shit completely illegally. So we have a couple people who are comfortable waking up at 4 a.m. when we have a Google number gets called and says there's a sweep coming, and they just stand there with their phones and they just videotape, and the cops don't fuck with people. So like, if that interests you, you can do that. If you're into healthcare, if you're into prison abolition, who's doing a lot of great work with our mutual aid group on the taillight benefit, like there's all these different causes.
And maybe just-
I saw that the DSA was doing stuff locally, and the idea that we all fight in all these similar battles. You know, everybody's fighting for better housing, for better medicine to treat oppressed groups like human beings. Like, we all have these fights locally within our own communities. And so if every city bands together and makes, you know, topples their local Trump, then that will lead to a domino effect. Because there's Trumps everywhere, and oftentimes they're way funnier and crazier than the actual Trump because they don't think anyone's looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting on a taillight benefit. DSA Los Angeles is doing this, inspired by DSA New Orleans. So the thought was, people of color, migrant workers, just undocumented folks, they are getting pulled over and they are being thrown into the carceral state. They're being thrown into, if you're undocumented, you're being thrown into a private prison where they hold immigrants. It's not like they go to a Radisson. They go to a private prison. Or if you're just a fucking black dude, you're going to get fucked with by the cops because the police is inherently a racist system. And so... what we're doing is we are, for free, providing brake lights. If your brake light's out, that's most likely what's going to get you pulled over.
Right, huh? And then they can search your car and stuff because you look not white.
Right, exactly. And it could, and likely often does, end up with some unarmed person being shot. And so if that is a concept that's like borrowed from the Black Panthers, known as like mutual aid. We help them, but they also help us because we have now ingrained ourselves in the community more. And so we can like get more people to go do more cool shit.
Right.
Fuck, man. I'm on the hard bench trying to sleep in the Ola pen. Man, how the fuck did I get here again? First thing in the morning, it's the fuck shit. They called the case, I got confronted by a tough snitch. You told me do it, don't act like you ain't done me do it. You ain't a shooter, you a Sherman, you fucking loser. I fly the kite, my little man to cut his sister up. He love his bitch, you snatch her, he'll start switching up. I'm cool, I just wait till my next court date. I bet he catch amnesia, we do this shit at leisure. Surrounded by Bloods, Crips, Kings, and the Etas. Gym stars open niggas up like Berettas. I'm trying to be easy, but every now and then I gotta put it in. Please believe me, you get to looking at me strange. I'm prepared, Jack. A buck 50, keep the change, you can wear that. This is murder, this is not music. I had the style 10 years ago, I just didn't use it. You niggas forgot how I do it.
Well, I do it like there's nothing to it. This is murder, this is not music. I had the style 10 years ago, I just didn't use it. You niggas forgot how I do it. Well, I do it like there's nothing to it. Yeah. I had the style 10 years ago, I just didn't use it. 10 years ago. 10 years ago.